My name is Amy Stewart. As Philip shared, I'm a deacon in the United Methodist Church. I'm excited to be here. I was excited to hear about acolyte training. I was texting with my boss this week. I said, I could not wait to become an acolyte, but I lacked the key attribute of being an acolyte, which is to be able to get up and light and extinguish the candles. And so I just am excited that we're doing this, and it brings back memories, similarly standing behind a pulpit that pretty much covers my entire body. But excited to be here with everyone this morning. I serve with the General Board of Higher Education and Ministry, which is one of the 13 agencies of the United Methodist Church. So within that kind of umbrella, my role is to help people who are discerning a call to ministry, to serve as clergy. One of the things that I was most excited about, Don's message from last week, was how accessible he made it seem, the spiritual gifts inventory. If you weren't here last week, if you go to umc.org and search for spiritual gifts, it's a way to assess your own calling to ministry. We are all called to be ministers and disciples. And so I encourage you to do that. But for some people, we are called to be in set-apart ministry, to equip others for ministry. And so that is a call that I heard and a call that I help to cultivate within others. And so if you're looking for someone to talk to about your call, you can let me know. But otherwise, I'm really excited to be a part of Holly Springs, to serve here with Pastor Anita, as Philip shared, who is not here. You may recall the last time I preached, it was on the Gospel of John as well, but it was about 40 verses, and it made the sermon feel like 90 minutes long. So I endeavor today to be a little bit briefer. I'll invite us to receive the gospel message from John chapter 10. And as we do so, I invite us to pray the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. It may be a familiar passage for you, and I invite us to hear this with new ears. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what Jesus was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this time that we would receive your words, that we would be attentive to what it is that you say to us today, and that we would receive a call from you that we would be empowered to go out into the world to fulfill. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There once was a man named the Reverend Dr. William Richard Myers. He was born in Iowa. He joined the Navy and served in Kentucky. Eventually, he moved to Chicago, and there he served as a minister. Out of that church, he began to serve as the president of Northern Theological Seminary. Bill Myers was wise, he was thoughtful and pensive. And Bill Myers was also my granddad. When I was a young child, he retired and he began a full-time job as a grandfather. We would spend all of our summers, my brothers and me, and Christmases in Chicago and at Holden Beach. Our families would spend a lot of time together just being together and doing all sorts of things, big and small, going to the libraries, riding bikes, watching the fireworks on the 3rd of July. We even celebrated my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary on a cruise. It's the only cruise I've ever gone on. It was our whole extended family. But I personally had a very close relationship with my grandfather. When I was a kid, I loved to call my grandparents on the phone. Now, you may have to reach, but there was a time when we had, like, phones that had things that you had to push, and you sort of knew everyone's phone number. And so I had it memorized, and I would punch all those numbers in, and I could hear his voice as he would say, "Hello?" And then he'd say, "Oh, Amy, I'm so glad you called. Let me get your grandmother. I know she would love to speak with you also." And in hindsight, I love that because he was such an introvert and she was as extroverted as they get. And so he would bring her into the conversation and he could listen and step aside. He was not big on small talk, even though he was a pastor, he wasn't big on small talk. He died in January of 2016. I was about 7 months pregnant with our first daughter. So I was a bit emotional anyways, and I was sitting up in the chancel area with the other clergy who were presiding at the funeral. And at the end, I didn't know it was coming, but my uncle had transferred the recording of prior sermons of his and converted it to a digital file. And so they used his voice as a pastor offering the benediction to his sermon. And so as I was sitting there, I heard his voice, and it just brought me to tears. It was so moving. It also reminded me of so many of the conversations that we had had. We had discussed my getting married, my deciding to go to seminary, all of the different things, those moments in life up until he was getting older in age and moved into a home with my grandmother. We would just talk so regularly, and I loved the comfort of being able to go to him. His was a voice that I knew. And this is the voice that we hear in the text of the Gospel of John. With verse 3, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." In the Greek, the verb to know is oida, which means to perceive or to be acquainted with. So if we think of all of the voices we hear in a given day, we can more fully appreciate the distinction here. So if you are heading out to work or to do something in the morning, you'll have the radio on, or you may be watching TV as you prepare for breakfast, watching ABC 11, right? We hear conversations around us all the time. We'll go to the grocery store and we hear the cashier say, "Would you like a receipt?" Or we hear someone say, "Can I help you take the groceries out to your car?" Sometimes we hear children laugh, or we can hear dogs barking. Or I was sharing this morning, I heard a barred owl. I was sitting in my porch and it was dark, and I could hear this owl just cooing. Hopefully we don't hear someone say, "May I see your license and registration?" We hear these voices and recognize throughout our day that we are listening to voices all day long. Globally, the noise-canceling headphone market generated $13.1 billion in 2021. It is expected to grow to $45 billion in 2031. There are many reasons for the increasing demand for noise-canceling headphones, and one is there is so much noise in our world. We need help just to hear the things we are trying to listen for. Jesus is teaching the disciples here in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. We may imagine a serene and pastoral setting. We actually do have friends who live out in Chatham County who have sheep and goats and chickens, and there's not a lot else out there. But for us, we might picture walking around Bass Lake or the big open field next to this church. A shepherd is calling the sheep, and the sheep hear the voice, and they know the voice. They follow the shepherd's direction because they perceive the voice to be one of a trusted leader and guide. They are acquainted with the voice they've shared significant time with and heard speaking to them. Often the voices we hear in our days are calling us to action as well. If we listen to the news, we are being persuaded to a certain way of believing. Through commercials, we are told that certain products will deliver certain results. We can learn how to save money, to lose weight, to buy now because these prices won't last. Labor Day is the time to buy a new mattress. And if we pause to think, how often do we hear God's voice speaking to us in the everyday? Or another way to consider this is, when have we heard God's voice? Most likely the times that come to mind are significant pivotal moments in our life. Through a conversation with my pastor, I heard God say to me, "Have you thought about going into the ministry?" It may be God's voice calling us to move or to marry, to initiate a new ministry. I don't know the origins of the Backpack Buddies ministry, and I would imagine it began with God's voice speaking into the heart of someone here in this community, recognizing the need for kids who go to school and aren't sure there's enough food at home until they get back to school the next day. What could we do? We could generate a ministry that folks go to the grocery store and pick up a few extra things just to help out. We believe in a God who speaks to us through the person of Jesus Christ. On Easter morning, a gardener is talking to Mary outside the tomb. "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Jesus calls her by that name, and in that moment, she knows it's Jesus. The sheep know my voice. They know his voice so as to discern his mind by it and to distinguish it from that of a stranger. In the beginning of the book of Hebrews, we read, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Gospels mark a significant shift in the change from understanding how God speaks to God's people. There is a uniqueness of Jesus in the history of human and divine relationships. We no longer expect to hear God through the prophets. There is a greater emphasis on reflecting how God is calling one of us through Jesus of Nazareth. And we believe in the day of Pentecost as the next major shift in our faith. By the sending of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church, we recognize our place in the line of history. We know that God sends the Holy Spirit as an advocate, a helper, to give us the power to discern the voice of God in our lives. We are empowered to listen to God's voice, and it is to us God is speaking even today. So as we come to a close, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And as we reflect on this gospel story, I'm going to read a poem. In the stillness of this moment, I invite you to pray, to receive, and to be still. Ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you in this time and to give you a renewed desire to listen for God in this week ahead. Let us pray. There is a place we can find, a good place, like quiet meadows where flowers spread, like green grasses by gentle streams, a place where the heart feels nourished, where the mind is hopeful, unhurried, where the spirit is glad and at peace. We'll name this place fulfillment. We'll name it healing and thankfulness. We'll name this good place pasture, for there we seek to feed. And there is a voice we can hear that calls us, a gentle voice, melodious, a voice like songbirds and laughter, like a mother comforting her children, like a shepherd calling his sheep. We'll name this voice acceptance. We'll name it mercy and forgiveness. We'll name it the voice of God's love, inviting us to gently to feed. It invites us to enter pasture when we think we're too hurting to listen, too angry or grieving or fearful to hear the voice that calls us to peace. It invites us to enter pasture when we're too busy to listen, too burdened or worried or pressured to hear the voice that calls us to peace. It says, come in and go out and find pasture. It says, we are safe with the shepherd of all sheep. It says, meadows await us in this moment. It says, rest in love where you are. Joyfully feed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.